Good morning, everyone. It is Office Hours. It's Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow on the road. I see him touring all around. I believe he's in Georgia now on his way to Tampa. And Mr. Maslow, thank you so much for co-hosting Celebrity Entrepreneur Show.
It is always my pleasure, David Meltzer. And I think you're right. I got to admit, I haven't checked the map and I haven't looked out the window yet. I rolled out of bed and came here, but I'm very happy to be here. I always love jumping on. And this week, I'll bring on one of my dear friends, and in fact, another one of my mentors in my life, the extremely accomplished and well-known, needs no introduction, Mike O'Hearn.
Yeah, well, we can't wait to bring him on. And there he is. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. You guys are giving my spike, my caffeine rise. You called me the other day, and I said, heck yeah, we'll definitely do this. And I was up early this morning doing some workout and getting ready for today. So thanks for having me on, guys.
You know, it's great
we appreciate it, man.
You.
It's always good to see you. What time do you usually train, Mike? Because I know that we used to be the 4 a.m. crowd when I was living in Venice Beach, and I join you sometimes at Gold's Gym. Are you still training at 4? What does your day look like?
It's 3 or 4 o'clock as of late. I mean, if anybody knows this kind of schedule, it would be, in my life, you and Jonathan Shack and these other guys that are still don't want to have the dad bods, want to be in shape, want to be able to be athletic and keep moving and moving. But also, you're on set for 12 hours, or in your case, you're performing all night and then getting up and going. So I try to get in first thing in the morning, 4 o'clock. That way, nothing gets in the way of it.
I love that.
And Mike, you've been mentoring James a long time, and I have my number one mentor still today, although mentor so many myself in my area of expertise and skills and knowledge that I have. But sleep has elevated itself to the number one non-negotiable in my life, and what it does for me in two realms. I was curious for you how you prioritize sleep, not only for you, but in your mentorship of others.
I recommend it. I talk to the young Mike and say, try to get more. But there is an aspect of the studies that are done. It is that 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and that is great. But there's also the quality of sleep. And so if you can get a good quality of sleep, less than 8 hours, then you're good to go again. And one thing I try to do is I try to shut down the night before relative to, I know it sounds crazy. You're up at 4, you're up at 3. Yeah, but I'm also in bed by 8, in bed by 9, shut down, done, and getting to sleep. And the days just are so much more productive. I keep kind of going back and forth in that battle, that mental battle of where Arnold says, well, if you need 8 to 10 hours of sleep, just sleep faster. And it's a nice scenario because we love our lives, right? And so there is an excitement about getting up and going again. And I think that we're all lunchbox kind of guys. Every day, you know, we got to get up and do the work again. Nothing's guaranteed. Get up, do the basic work again, go again. And so I think there's that excitement that maybe some of us don't need as much sleep.
Well, something you mentioned to me a long time ago, Mike, that has really stuck with me is if you're consistent, you know, you're consistent in your eating, consistent in your training, and consistent in your sleeping, ideally as often as possible, when you don't get it, you can push through and you're going to be just fine. And that's something that I'm taking to heart today. This is the first night I've had on my bus. And every time you jump on tour bus, it takes you a few nights to get accustomed to how it rides, how your driver drives, the bed you're sleeping in. There's a lot of variables. So admittedly, I probably got 2 or 3 hours accumulatively over the bumpy waking up, all the things that happen. You know, you sleep on a moving vehicle overnight last night. But I remember those words. And because my sleep has been so dialed in during rehearsals. My schedule, my diet, my training has just been so dialed in for so long now. I could wake up, be excited about this interview, excited about today, you know, about a half a cup of espresso. I don't even need the other half because I know I'm going to go. I'm going to crush a workout after this. And I'll get in a little power nap before meet and greet, maybe a power nap before show, and I'll be good to go because the consistency is there. And that's something you taught me a long time ago, and it definitely proves true today.
David, you said I'm a mentor to him. Did you see what he just did? And if everybody's watching this, what he just did is, I'm not sure I'm a mentor. You know, you got the aspect of a youth, and I've known this kid since he was 19, 20. And we have this amazing gift. We have a smartphone in our hands, and we got the chat GPT. Are you asking the right questions to it? And James is one of these kids at such a young age was asking the right questions. And if everybody said that I'm a mentor, I think James is one of those guys who can ask the young man with an old soul questions to get what he needs so he can keep motivating and pushing through life and keep growing and growing and growing at such a young age. It's so impressive to me to see that.
Thank you, brother.
I appreciate you saying, you know, but you really do. And I know we were talking about sleep, but he picks up on the little things. And I think he's 100% correct. The best you can do on that day is always the go. And I know people want to go, well, I want to be 100%. I want to get my 100% sleep. I want to get my 100% workout. And it's like, that's in a perfect world. That's great. Doesn't really work that way. But if you can get 70 to 80% day in and day out and day in and day out, that's gold. And this is that leash off time. You don't get the luxury of 8 hours of sleep because you're on the road. You're in the perform, boom, 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 city, city, city. So you're ready for this fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because within the context of a mentor can also be a teacher. And I'm sure you have educated James on the suggestions and questions that he always has had as an old soul, but also a coach. And one of the things I know about you, Mike, is you bring the best out of other people. And, you know, that's why Tiger Woods has a coach. That's why LeBron James has a coach. That's why Kobe had a coach, because everybody needs someone to bring the best out of them. And as you know, James just got engaged. So we know he now has some extra help to bring the best out of him, which is definitely one of the best things that an intimate partner can do. To that measure, stacking wins is what you're talking about. And my mentor, teacher, and coach, Dr. Wayne Dyer, who wrote Power of Intention, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, things like that. He always said that 2 minutes a day is actually worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. That has evolved into what I call the empty mile. And it's aligned with what you guys do and say and think, feel, and believe, which is so many people live that extra mile. They go the extra mile every once in a while, and they have a great workout on Saturday, great workout on Sunday, and then they don't work out again. And, you know, then they use that to justify why they're not where they want to be, where you were talking about 70%, 60%, you know, in that realm. How do you feel about stacking W's, even if it's not at the level of the extra milers? In fact, it could be exponentially less, but every day.
I think that's 100% factual. And it's from talking from A-Rod to Ken Griffey Jr. to these guys that are just not just good, not just all-stars, but the all-stars of all-stars. And they all talk about that when they're at practice. It's like, can I get that 70 to 80%? Can I get 70? Do the very best you can. And it's the small little the footwork. Tom Brady. You know, he just retired a couple of years ago, but he was a mid-40-year-old guy still doing footwork. Well, don't you think he got his footwork down in Pee Wee football? Or at least by, you know, high school, right? But still, the greatest in the world at 40 was still doing the footwork. And I think that's what we all kind of say is, like, you get up, do the basic, get the win for that day, do the best you can, and then move forward. But don't. For anybody out there, it's great that you go to the gym. And I blasted it today and I kicked ass and my training partners were throwing up and they were done and everybody, it's like, that's great. But you shot your load and now the next 4 or 5 days, you're at 20%. Where the guy that's at 70% each day, 7 days a week, is gold. And something James was just talking about, how he got 2 hours of sleep last night. I just finished a movie and it was, first of all, boxing for 3 minutes is tough. I think we can all agree, just, you know, and it was 12 hours of boxing. And it's just like, I was destroyed, but it was day in and day out, We got to do this round again. We got to do this again. And I was like, all right, I'm in the grit of this and I've got to be able to do it. And I'm going to miss the workouts and I'm going to miss the sleep and the nutrition will be a minute. Because again, we're on screen, so you got to still look good. And that's what that whole 70% sets you up to get in that fight for that one time with those days. And then you plateau again and try to go at 70. And I think it's those building blocks that we all agree on. I get the 100. Yeah. I get everybody out there going, I want to be 100. I want to be 100. Life never gives you that. Family life. And then going into what you just said, engagement and a significant other that doesn't bring you down, but takes you up even more. Oof.
Yeah.
That's a
lot. I love that, man. I mean, it's so true. When you go into it prepared, you know, there are a lot of people, I mean, we know in the world of actors, there are a lot of actors that don't really want to put in the work until they get the role. And while I understand it, because sometimes I don't want to get up either. I'm a human being. Sometimes I don't want to go and crush a workout because sometimes it sucks. But I've, you know, we've considerably switched that mindset to look at it as I get to go and do this. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do shit. None of us do. You don't have to do anything. You get to do things. So you switch that mindset. But the difference between the people, the actors in this situation that wait until they get the role and have 6 weeks to prep, or 4 weeks to prep, and then the ones that just stay ready and just stay consistent, even if they can do it in 4 weeks, you know, and some people can shift their body enough to look pretty good, you know, even if you can, they're not going to be as resilient. And I think that's what you're talking about here. Your body's ability, your mind's ability, heck, your health's ability to stay resilient through the literal or figurative punches you're going to take with hard days, whether you're on set or on tour. And, you know, man, the older I get, and I've had my journey and I continue to be on my journey, but the older I get, the less I do the things that take me away from staying ready, namely drinking. I pretty much cut it out a couple years ago. That, you know, it may sound silly to you guys at this point, but it's such an obvious and huge one that most people, especially young people in their 20s and 30s, can control, that we know is not helping us. And let me tell you, cutting that out, at least drastically minimizing it, has given me such superpowers in terms of resilience and recovery. And I've seen my body's reaction to proper nutrition and no drinking completely respond to that. So, I mean, just back to going to the fundamentals, the building blocks, back to the basics, but more than anything, staying consistent with whatever it is you want to do helps you be ready for the hard days and hard months.
I got a question for you guys. Two questions. One is, an opportunity really isn't an opportunity unless you're prepared for it. Is that not somewhat true?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't see. We're all, whatever we put into things, whatever we give, we have to be prepared to see what we're given. And whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, a lot of people aren't prepared to see what they're given. So they feel punished or left out.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing because it's a twofold, is that I get some knocks at the door on opportunities, but I can only succeed through those opportunities if I was prepared already for what was, you know, you're not aware of. And then they come knocking. Yeah. And can you do this? Oh, heck yeah, I can do that. I'm good for this. I can do, I'm scared shitless, but I'll do it. I'll prepare even more for it. And then the second thing is, what do you guys think about James giving up drinking where society, and I know James and I have always been this way. Hey, you want to go meet at the bar? 100%. The gym bar, squat rack, you know, right? Not the club. So what about not tricky? Because I gave the idea of it up at 9:10, but I had nine older brothers and sisters, and I saw they were drinking and what goes with that. And I was like, if it stops breakdown of protein, synthesis, can't even say it, in the body, I don't want to lose that day. And so I just never picked it up. But people think that that's what you do if you go out with the guys on a Friday and Saturday night. What's your take?
You know, I think at a bigger level, my whole life shifted later because I thought it was not interfering with where I wanted to be because I had such great success. A lot of people genetically can look terrific in their 20s. I was wealthy, married to my dream girl. And so I was so focused on the outcomes that I felt that the behaviors I had must be okay. Until I quit drinking, until I quit doing the behaviors that interfere with my potential, I didn't realize what my potential was. And so I categorize behaviors. Good behaviors are those that are aligned with where I want to be or better. Bad behaviors are those which interfere with it. And I think alcohol and drugs and staying up late at night, if you're going to wake up early, there's a variety of things that I think in my trajectory, my divine direction towards my potential, it's quite clear what behaviors are aligned and which ones are interfering with it. And it's not just the wisdom from people like you, Mike and James, but it does incorporate faith, because that awareness that you talk about, when you're prepared, sometimes, like you said, Mike, there is no evidence that you can do it, or the evidence is contrary that you can do it. But because you're prepared, you now have faith that you are infinite in your nature, because you have been able to enjoy what you don't like or love about what you love. And I'm going to repeat that. With preparation, you're capable of enjoying what you don't like or love about what you love. And I use my own marriage, which is coming on 28 years. I am a whipped mofo. You know, I adore my wife. I'm 57 years old and I still can't believe that I'm her husband. But that doesn't mean that I love every bit of what she does, right? Like anybody, there are annoying times. I'm an OCD person and she's not. So you can imagine how many times I'm annoyed, but I've learned to love what I don't like or love about her because I love her so much.
Yeah. Man, if anybody's watching this, just clip David's point right there. That's the show right there. It's a great aspect that, you know, you were doing well. And I think so many people, mostly young people, if you're in your 20s and you're in shape, well, you should be. You're in your 20s. But there are some habits that are messing you up for later on. And that's what he's speaking. That the depth on that is huge.
I think you nailed it, David. What really resonated with me is that when you see people who are successful and they're going out and drinking and partying, you think, oh, well, it doesn't get in the way. Maybe it even helps. Specifically in the world of entertainment, we see so many examples. I saw so many examples of celebrities, of musicians that were very successful drinking, partying, doing drugs, of agents in your world, David. Heck, Mike, even bodybuilders, maybe not drinking as much, but they're certainly doing a lot of drugs. They're doing a lot of terrible things out there. And there's so many examples of people that a lot of the world looks up to doing these things, but that's very short-sighted. And what I'm realizing is that I was just looking at the wrong examples. And maybe there just needs to be more examples like you guys. And I might have learned this at a slightly younger age, but I also wish I learned it even younger. That there's simply no longevity to that. You can get away with it when you're younger, and heck, sure, it's fun at times, but it's so easy to overdo. It is so easy to overdo because anything more than barely a little bit is overdoing it. And most people, myself included, when I would just drink and do just way too much. And the people that I look up to now, you two very much included in that list, are the ones who let it go, didn't really take to it, because they found so much more joy in their own lives, physically, mentally, their own careers, continuing to benefit, to grow. And the truth is, there are very, very few examples of people who continue to drink and party that also continue to have success.
I think if I heard this correct, and you guys will know better than I think the band Kiss, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, and those guys have been around since the 70s. And from what I understand, those guys never did anything, no drinking, no nothing, which you would assume, especially in the 70s and 80s, that it was a party time. And we know all of the stars that did it. And it's cool to see, I will ask Gene Simmons if this is 100% true. I don't know why I've never asked him, but that's why they're still here today in 2025. It's a 50-year career. It's like, wait a minute, that's mind-blowing to me that you've got to be able to live your dream just because, again, we go back to the very beginning of the conversation, is the daily wins. Get up, do the work, get in there, do what's necessary, but don't go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they're an amazing example. They have built a huge, huge only catalog of music, but the ancillary businesses, you can probably speak to more than me, but I've read about them and heard about them. I mean, from the merchandising business to the branding, to me, it's truly incredible. And to go 5 decades, that's inspiring. You know, I'm coming up on decade number 2, and I, God willing, will have 3, 4 more, 5 more.
And you will, with the right behaviors. As we finish up, Gene has, I think, over 1,000 licenses, guys. So I worked on their arena football team with him and had to go through the categorizing of all the licenses. It was incredible. The business acumen as well, which reminds me of another great artist, James Maslow, who on and off the stage is performing at the highest level. And reminding, remembering, and recollecting people like Mike O'Hearn, myself, in our behaviors on the West Coast. Mike, we'll invite you out. I get a studio there at SiriusXM. We'd love to have you come in. SoFi Stadium is our offices and other studios. So we do it early so you can get to bed. I'm a 9 o'clock unwinding routine guy. So I wake up at 4. And I know, James, we keep up with you. So we'll see you at the new arena here when you come out in August, and I think my daughter will be with you in Chicago. Got all the Meltzer fans.
Amazing. Movies,
that's what you call us. So big time rush. James, why don't you take us home with Mike O'Hearn. I almost said Michael Hearns. Mike O'Hearn.
Well, this has truly been a pleasure, guys. I mean, you're two people that are very, very special to me and have continued to motivate me and help educate me, and then I just want to say thank you so much for your time. Thank you for jumping on this morning, Mike, specifically to be with David and I. And man, I just will continue to look up to you guys. And I am motivated to not go back to bed, but I'm just going to find a gym like I do every day on tour and get after my day.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it. David, we'll stay in touch. And James, continued success, brother. And I love the check-ins that we do back and forth. And if you're out there, guys, I would clip a lot of these and just take them with you. There's a great knowledge that you both gave everybody. The journey and the youth all coming together. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
That's awesome. All right. What's your takeaway of the day, Mr. Maslow, before you go work out, before I go work out?
I mean, you know what? You say this all the time, that this is just an excuse to hang out with our friends. And it really is. It's become one of the highlights of my week. The guests we get to bring on. Mike is very, very special to me. I mean, he came up to me, man, 15 years ago, just working out at Gold's Gym, and said, hey, man, I see you in here every day. And I see you not talking to other people, just listening to your music and crushing it. And he's like, just keep it up. I'm around if you ever need anything. And I just started asking him questions. And he was so impressed that I was asking him questions. So many people want a photo with him. He's one of the greatest of all time in the bodybuilding world. And now in the acting world, he's growing and growing. But many people wouldn't take the time to ask him questions. And I think you and I hit a resonance early on in our relationship where it's very similar. It's like, I'm unabashedly unafraid to say, give me what you've learned, where you've gone wrong. So my takeaway is simply sharing my perspective, my experience, and my inspiration from you two and encouraging everyone else to do the same thing. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Seek out people who are living lives that you want to live, or at least things you want to learn, and ask questions.
I love it. That's how I became friends with Flex Lewis. He was working out every day, so I walked up and said, if you need any help, I'm here for you, brother. And we
became friends. I tell people all the time, I taught Mike everything he knows.
But more importantly, my takeaway of the day is stack your W's. You know, too many people, they miss a sleep night. They get two or three, and then they make it two nights, three nights, four nights, five nights. Don't stack the L's, stack the W's. Pre-prioritize the L's from the day before into W's the next day, helping to stay consistent, to enjoy what you don't like or love about what you love. James Maslow, I love you. I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. Can't wait to see you on tour and a whole different world. Let's all feel blessed today. Enjoy your weekend. James Maslow, thanks for joining us on Celebrity Entrepreneur Show.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you.
Remember, most importantly, Mr. Maslow, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. You are all blessed. Have a great day.